The sixth reading will be Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 15. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every kind wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, in cunning craftiness, whereby they live in wait to deceive, but seeking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ.
Well, we thank you for that reading. Good to see everyone. Good morning, brethren.
Good
morning, friends. We do have visitors. Thank you for coming. Thanks for being here, being a part of our worship service here at Sandyville. We're right at 100. Jenny, how many we got now? See there? Trick question. Ask him twice. I'll tell you what. He'll come up with something. I give him a hard time. I don't know why. Good morning. I've opened to 2 Peter chapter 1. Please get a Bible out. Open 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be spending most of our time there this morning in that text. 2 Peter chapter 1. We need to begin reading. Let's begin reading about verse 5. He says, for this reason, this very reason, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, apply moral excellence in your moral excellence knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control, your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. Your godliness, brotherly kindness, your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours, and they are increasing, they render you neither useless nor untruthful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, he says, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, he says, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said, will be abundantly supplied to you. So what a facade is, anybody know what a facade, you know what that is? A facade, when I think of a facade, I think of the movies, I think of Hollywood, I think of Clint Eastwood, there in the Western, he goes into town, and it's really, you see a town, but it's really not a town. You see different screens and different shots, and actually they just build the front of the store or the building, that's a facade. And when you think about that kind of facade, there's nothing behind that building, there's no depth to it, there's nothing there, that's a facade. It's not solid. Who wants to be a facade Christian? Who wants to be a fake Christian? Nothing really there. We're putting on the air. We're projecting that we're a Christian. But really when you get right down to it, there's no character there that reveals that you are a Christian. No depth to your Christian or spiritual life. There's nothing there. There's no spiritual character there. When I say that, of course, I thought, that's Pharisee. And I know that the Lord dealt with the Pharisees all the time about this very thing. That there was no depth to what they were professing as their religion. They really didn't take it seriously. And really, that's why he really went at arms with them all the time, because they acted like their faith was so vital to them, so important to them, when it really wasn't. And it was not real. It was fake. In fact, when you say the word Pharisee, we think of the word hypocrisy, and that's what it was. And Jesus constantly tangled with those guys, and the reason he was constantly trying to get them to see that, to see that there wasn't any depth in their life, the life that they professed, that they had professed, but the real, I guess, lack of spiritual character, lack of commitment that they actually had to God. That's what bothered Jesus about them. Don't be a facade. Don't be that. We need to be real when it comes to our life of service to God. This morning I want to talk about that. I'm going to talk about it in terms of being a solid Christian in those terms. And how would you define what a solid Christian is? Somebody that's a solid Christian. What comes to your mind when you say solid Christian? Well, we mean by that, I want to say that we mean by a disciple that takes his relationship with God seriously. You're not perfect. No, you don't get every answer right in the Bible trivia contest. That's not what I'm talking about being a solid Christian. I'm talking about one that you can count on. Somebody that you know will be there. Somebody that you know is going to serve. Somebody that you know is going to take their place in the work of the local congregation. That's a solid Christian. Somebody that you can count on. A solid Christian, again, might not be that bookworm, but they have a settled determination in what they're about and what they're doing. There's a realness about a solid Christian. He's not fake. He doesn't put on the facade of being something that he's not. And when you see him, it's really who they are. Day by day. It's really them. And really, I think that's what we're all at. As we profess lives of Christ, I think that's what we all want. We want to be that kind of Christian. We want to be that solid. And when we're not, I just think there's a longing there that we want that, to be a solid Christian, to profess that, and have solid service to the Lord. How do you get there? How do you get there? How do you be that solid Christian? Well, first and foremost, I'm going to say that way to get there is what Peter's talking about. You grow up. We need to grow up. And I think that's what our text is talking about. We need to grow up in our Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter says. Peter talks about these qualities that are yours, that are being yours, that should be yours. And something they're doing in that is that they're increasing. They're growing, they're developing. You've got to grow. And really, you know, that's the bottom line when you talk, you know, preachers always hammer about church growth. But you know what? When you talk about church growth, really the bottom line is that, are you growing? As an individual Christian, in your Christian life that you serve God, are you growing? Are you becoming better? Are you becoming stronger? Is there more depth to you now? Are you more solid than what you used to be as far as being a Christian? You become a solid disciple, then it takes doing that. It takes doing all of that. There's nothing fake about it. There's no facade about you. Three essentials that I want to discuss this morning about getting there. Three musts, I think, that if we're going to put that together and become a solid disciple. One of the things that I want you to think about, though, before we begin there, is a little bit about how we measure and the measurements that we always take in our spiritual life. I'm going to say to you that if we're going to become a solid Christian, that you're going to probably have to throw away all those visible, tangible measurements that we all use in our Christian life. I say that because the measuring stick needs to be out. Let me give you an illustration. I say a lot of things about mowing the grass. And a lot of mean things, I guess. I don't know how I was going to say it. You know, it's not one of my turn-ons. I don't care about it. You know. But one of the things I love about mowing the grass, I tell you what, if I die and my eyes open up and I'm holding on the lawnmower, that's not what I think about him. Let's put it that way. But one of the things that I like about it is that you can see where you've been. It's amazing, isn't it? There's lines, and that's cut, and that's pull. You know what I mean? It's a challenge. I like more sermons on a tractor than I do anywhere else. But when you think about that, that's easy measure. You can tell what's been cut, what's not been cut, and you can see the progress, can't you? You can measure that. And I can look over and see Terry. I'm almost caught up with him. That's how I measure progress on a mower. Look at what Terry's doing. But you can see what's done and what remains to be done, can't you? That's a measurement. And it's a very visible kind of thing. Now, when we start talking about you growing as a Christian, I don't know if it's that measurable. I don't know if you can see it like you're mowing the grass, those nice stripes, but we want to, don't we? We want to see those kind of visible things and that kind of progress. But look again at verse 8. If these qualities, alright, these qualities are yours. What qualities is he talking about? Now be definite in that. He talked about the Christian graces that he just enumerated. Verse 5, faith. Verse 5, virtue and knowledge. Verse 6, self-control, steadfastness, godliness. Verse 7, brotherly affection, love. All of these things are necessary if we're going to have really these foundational characteristics that Peter's talking about for real Christianity. Not fake Christianity. Real Christianity. Peter says these qualities, mark it down. And these are qualities that I'm going to say to you that are not easy to be measured. All right? They're just not that easy. You just can't take out the ruler. You just can't set it up and say, oh, hey, look, this is how much you've got to prove in brotherly kindness or being patient. Look here. Look, you're way short here. That's what I'm saying when I say about being measured in a tangible way, but we do that. We want to weigh everything. We want to measure everything. We want something that we can mark the progress in our life. By the way, that happens in churches, doesn't it? We do that in churches. We hold bodies of Christ. We compare our spiritual growth. How do we measure that? How do we do that? Well, how do we do it? Tangible way. What do we do? Somebody told me the ABCs of how strong the church is. A is attendance. B is your building. C is your contribution. We get a big building. We got good attendance. Contributions up. Guess what we are? Oh, we're strong. We've done a messenger to that, haven't we? Now, if you think in those terms, and the first thing I thought about that when the guy told me that, I thought about Laodicea. Well, Laodicea would say, oh man, they're strong. But in Smyrna, well, they'd just be nothing. They'd just be weak. They wouldn't be anything. But Laodicea, of course, not very spiritually minded, were they? So we measured them wrong, didn't we? We measured them how we know to measure. Well, same way I want to warn you in that as we think about progress in those terms and measuring it that way, I think things get out of kilter when we decide somehow that we're going to quantify spiritual growth by a visible, tangible, measurable way. Jesus says in verse 8, if these qualities are yours and they're increasing. Now, as a Christian, as you look at what Peter says, it's something that you are with inside. If these are yours, where's that at? It's inside. These qualities he's talking about are inside. It's inside of you. It's in your spirit. It's in your heart that drives these actions. You know, to be something, you're going to have to do something. Think about that. You're going to be a real Christian. You're not going to be a facade. You're not going to be a fake. Do you know that you're going to have to do something about that? Really, that's what he's talking about. Now, that's not an easy message. I don't have a faith on what is about that blood pressure thing. Faith meter, I'll call that. But if you hear you're 50 over 15, you're on life support. You're gonna have to do something. You're gonna have to charge up here. That's just not how it's gonna work. That's not what Peter's talking about here. Maybe he ought to say something here about church attendance. You know, we measure our own growth and development sometimes by church attendance. We don't just measure churches that way. We measure ourselves that way sometimes. But you know, if somebody goes to church three times a week, what are they? Well, they're as strong as they can be. Well, they're strong. There's no doubt about it. If somebody's here three times a week, a lot of spiritual growth sermons, though, where do they come from? Hebrews 10:25. We measure that. And you need to be here. You need to attend. Now, the first thing I would say about that is, I'm all for attendance. I sure am. I believe we ought to be here. I believe we ought to be here when the church meets. I believe that's a commandment. And certainly, if you're here, what's going to happen? There's no doubt about it that it's going to help your growth. That's going to help your growth. And you know, church, worshiping God, same one here, extremely important. The Bible's very clear about that. But you just, I think you need to know that just because you park yourself in a pew, that doesn't mean you're going to grow. That doesn't mean these things are going to go in you. And that doesn't mean these things are going to grow and develop in you. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 says that it's not automatic. Look at verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Interesting passage. These people were growing. How do we know that? Look at it. They were engaged. They were listening. They were searching the scriptures. They were seeing what Paul was saying. Is this the truth? Is it not the truth? Is this right? Is it wrong? Now, you look at that. How do we know they were engaged? How do we know that happened? Well, there's growth involved in it. Where's the growth? Look at verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. After doing that, verse 11, many of them believed, right there it is. But that belief was not automatic. This didn't happen because they were in the presence. You know, you'd come here and go to sleep. We've got that. You'd come here and be bored out of your skull. We've got that. You'd come here and be simple. We've got that. We've got all of that. You can come here and you can be on your phone. We've got that. But you know what? You're not going to run. You're not going to get anything out of this assembly. Attendance at a church is a huge part of growth. There's no doubt. But it's not automatic. It will not happen unless you decide to engage. And engage in what we're doing. And apply yourself. So,
one essential in becoming a solid disciple, that really growing and the about growth, the first essential is to make certain that we realize that this kind of growth that Peter talked about, heart work. It's your work. It's inside of you. It's a spirit in you that says, I'm going to engage. I want to be a real Christian. This doesn't stop about me. This isn't fake. This is something that needs to occur where? In you. Once I said that to measure Christian growth, about like trying to measure a tree, you can't go out and wrap tape around a tree every 15 minutes, see its growth. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that way. Remember, brethren, not everything that counts can be counted. Don't forget that. That's a good line. Not everything that counts can be counted. But when we are trying to grow, we'll have to come to terms with the fact that transformation of character, that the Scripture shows a man, it's inside of us. And those qualities that Peter's talking about, they need to grow in us. We need to check on them. We need to look at it. It's not something as measurable, as visible as sometimes we'd like it to be. But look again first for 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 8 again. Look what he says. Notice that verse. For it. There it is. For it. Now I think if you look at this, there's another essential point about not being fake. And that is the word desire. He has desire. He talks about desire. What do you mean is, Peter? I just figured everybody in the universe that's a Christian and serving God. Why would you want to be a fake Christian? Why would you want to put on a facade? I see that's not the case. I just figured everybody want to be a Christian. Not that way. So look at verse 9. Peter flat out say, what? Some of you do what? Lack this. You lack these qualities. Why? Why doesn't everybody want to be a real, solid disciple? Why not? Why would we be content to be a faker? Why would we do that? Well, the answer is, not only that growth that needs to take place, it's hard work. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Being a solid Christian, being real, not a fake, it takes hard work. It takes hard work for you to develop that. Step out of Peter again. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. What Paul says, verse 12. So then, he says, my beloved, Philippians 2, verse 12, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but how much more in my absence? Work out your salvation, he says. You work that out with fear and trembling. Get the idea that I can't sit on my hands and do nothing. That there's some work involved here. That if I just decide to take this route, that all of a sudden I'm going to wake up one morning and I'm going to be a solid Christian, a faithful Christian. You know, turn to chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's a pressing there. As you look at it, there's a straining there. There's an effort there. Why? I want to grow. I want to grow up. I want to grow up and beyond. Verse 10. Go back to 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Brethren, do what? You're going to have to be diligent in this. Brethren, be more diligent. It takes work. It takes effort. Growing in Christ is not easy. Not easy. By the way, it's just not gathering up a bunch of spiritual data. I know all the right answers. I can do this. Growth happens when we take that spiritual data, when we take the Bible, when we take the knowledge, and then we take it and it pushes us to transformation. It pushes us inside to change my life. And in doing that, I give glory to God. And I make sure that I'm not fake. I'm the real deal. That's what that's about. You ready for that? Are you ready to do that? Do you want that?
You willing to take stock about where you really are in this? You see, in our culture, much of the reason I think so many people have facade living even in Christ is because it's so easy to do that. And I'll tell you what, you talk about a faith facade society, we're in it. I'm going to take out my multi-super black Visa card and buy me some new clothes. I'm going to buy me a car. You can do that. You can get all the assurance that people say, and you can look at people and say, see, look at me. I'm happy. My life is great. I won. And that's nothing but a facade. That's nothing but faith. I'm only living a good life. Check it out. Look what I bought. $200 a month. So I'm dead. That's all that. You cannot. You can't buy a relationship with God. You can't do it. You can't buy a heart that is full of service and that wants to serve God. You can't buy that. You can't buy a heart that's serving the Lord. You know what it takes? It takes effort. And in that effort, it takes desire. It takes a want. It takes you to put, to get the things necessary for you to grow. That's what it takes.
In fact, you look back at 1 Peter again. Why do I keep calling that 1 Peter, 2 Peter? Oh, no, it's good 1 Peter. That's my bad. Let's go to 1 Peter.
There's something that happens if you don't grow. Chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it, that milk, you may grow in respect, he says, to salvation. If you're not growing, well, you're going to remain a baby. We've heard these a thousand times. Have you ever thought about being a baby long term? I mean, really just think about being a baby long term. And if you're a baby, somebody cares for you 24/7. You don't have any responsibilities. You don't have to worry about a paycheck. You don't have to be anywhere at a certain time. There's no schedule, no decisions to make, no hours to keep. Sounds like a good job, doesn't it? Maybe I'll put it in my resume. I'm 7 months old baby. Here I am. I sleep all night. I sit up a little bit. I am teething. I don't know if you take that or not. We chuckle about that. But we don't want to be a baby, do we? We don't want that. And when our teenagers, when you hear about the baby, you know, if you're a baby, guess what you don't get to do? You don't get to drive. I couldn't wait to grow up because I got so tired of the strange vegetables. Give me food. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to be a baby again. We just don't want to do that. I want to grow up. And of course, in fact, he said, the child doesn't grow, doesn't develop, so if you take him to a doctor. The trouble is sometimes the church has permanent baby Christians. We've got permanent baby Christians. People that are not growing up. People that are not getting real with their Christian life. People that are just putting on the facade. And not growing up. Because you know what? Being a baby Christian means a lot of things. You know what it means? I don't have to get serious about sin. I'm just a baby. I fall along. I'm really weak. I'm weak like a baby. And so I don't have to get serious about sin. I don't have to get out of my comfort zone. Oh, I'll never teach. Can't do that. Babies don't teach. And so we stay right where we're at. And I'm going to get along just great. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to depend on all these other mature Christians. Guess what I found out? The ones you think are mature, most of them just big old babies. Have to get their way all the time. You weren't born again to be a spiritual baby. That's not why you were born again. We need to be able to get to work in the growth of a Christian life. Grow from infancy to adulthood and go walk in Christ. You know why we can do that? That's what we want. That's what we desire. That has to be kicked in. We realize that being a child, being a baby in Christ, it's not enough. I want more in the kingdom, don't you? I want to overcome temptation, don't you? I want the meat of this book. I want to make applications where there are deep things, where I can make major changes in my life. I want to overcome all of that. I want to stop floundering and reach discipleship. I got a desire to do that. I want that. Which means thoroughly, essentially, really, understanding that growth, understanding how that works, that there are benefits in growth. And Peter talks about that. We really ought to look at the text. Look at verse 8 again. Requires all this work, so what should I do? What would I do? How would I do that? Why would I do that? He says that these qualities are yours and they're increasing, that keep you from being ineffective. They keep you from being ineffective. From being unfruitful and not with the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these qualities increase, what happens to you? Well, first and foremost, you're not ineffective. You're very effective. You're effective and fruitful. And some translations talk about this being vain. That if you don't do this, you're vain, you're barren. And actually, the words that are used is the same words that the Lord used in the parable where the guys hung out all day and were idle all day. Useful. Vain is what he's talking. Nobody wants to be like that. All of us want our life to have power. All of us want our life to have meaning. We don't want to be ineffective. We don't want to be unfruitful. We want our life to mean something. We want our life to do something. We want to be a part of something that really does matter. And we want that. And if you want that, you need to grow up. You need to grow up in Christ. Grow deeper in your Christian life. You need to be able to learn about what it means to have self-sacrifice. What it means to sacrifice. How to give of yourself. How to receive when somebody gives. All of those things. You'll learn about the abundant life that is offered in Jesus Christ. You'll never know it if you put on the facade, take your way through it, and don't desire to grow into it. And look at these qualities.
Well, our life that leads to one that is not vain, not empty, not ineffective, not unfruitful. You know, verse 9, you'll be able to see when that happens. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's what? Blind. You fake your way out, you don't even know you're blind. I hate glasses. I hate them. And if something happens, you get old, your eyes get old. I've got reading glasses all over the house, all over there, all over the car on. I've got them everywhere. And I can't see if I don't have them. I can see you, but I can't see the read. Common, you know. But I hate them. I mean, they break when a basketball hits you in the face, all those things. People still walk up to me and say, hey, what's my iPhone? Okay, get about 10 feet back. And you can see the picture. But I want to be able to see. I don't want to go blind. I don't want to be blind. Peter talks about Christians who aren't growing, they're going blind. Did that mean that I have forgotten the joy of what it meant to become a Christian? I think you lose to that. Being baptized into Christ and to know, to remember that day of redemption for you. Look what he says in verse 9. They forgot, or they forget that they were cleansed, where? From their former sins. We don't develop Christian character. If we don't pursue Christ, if we don't become a solid disciple, you know that begins to wear off. That day that you obey the gospel, we lose that zeal and energy for Jesus Christ that was born in that water. That's what he says. That day that says, I've been redeemed. If you don't develop, that goes away. That's a distant memory. The feeling, the zeal, the energy that all that day meant to you doesn't mean that to you now. Why? Put on the facade. You're faking it through. Peter says, if you're not working, you're dying. That's what he says. If you're not going forward, you're going back. That's what he's alluding to. Because as we grow, you know what we see? We see clearer and clearer what this life is about. We see much clearer and clearer what Christianity is about. The vitalness of the church. The vitalness of our fellowship with Christ. As we grow, we see what eternity is about. We see the shortness of this life. We see things when we desire to grow in our Christian life. Not growing, you're going blind. He says more, verse 10. He says, for once, we were not a people. I'm going to turn the page. I'm getting 1 Peter 2 messed up this morning. He says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Make the call, calling and choosing you. He says, for as long as you practice these things, he says, you'll never stumble. Isn't that a song? You'll never fall. How many are stuck into doing nothing, be nothing? It's a drudgery. They can't hardly stand to be here. I'm just one more boring sermon from giving it all up. They need to grow in Christ. When you become real in your discipleship,
When you become a solid Christian, when you're growing to that, you will be surprised how much easier Christianity becomes. It will surprise you because Christianity never was meant to be, hey, I'm going to take a little bit of the world, and I'm going to be involved in sin, and then I'm going to do all this stuff all this week, then I'm going to deadhead back here on Sunday morning, I'm in, I'm out, no. No, that's not what Christianity is. Grow in Christ. Be real. Forget the facade. And what happens is, you start leaving the world behind. And it really doesn't appeal to you like it did when you were a babe in Christ. And it doesn't make the appeals to you like it did when you were a babe in Christ. The way to measure that. Grow in Christ. That miserable half existence, one foot here, one foot there, all that does, it makes you wretched, it makes you miserable, it's difficult, it's hard, there's guilt, there's shame. Well, God, what's that? What is that? That's somebody's faith. That's somebody's got the facade of and living a faith Christian life and knows absolutely nothing about what it means to be a solid disciple of Christ and a Christian that grows. Grow, get stronger, become a solid disciple. Every day that happens. Look at verse 11. Here's the important thing about this. For in this way, what way? What we've been talking about. The entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. I want you to focus on that. Peter says, if you're going to get to heaven, you know how you're going to get to heaven? You're going to grow into heaven. You're going to grow into heaven. That's it. If you don't go, you don't go. That's what he says. It's a must. We have to do that. And look at that phrase. Can you focus on that phrase? That's not a fearful, I hope I can slide under the wire somehow and just make it. I hope I can get in the back door somehow. No, no. Growing real disciples go to heaven. They please Jesus. They live a life that's full of service to the Lord. They live a life that's focused on the kingdom, His way, His will. They get there. They make it. Isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we start this whole thing? We don't want to be wrong. We want to make it. Here's how you do it. Here's his instruction. We want to go to heaven. And a deeper Christian character. Being real, being solid. I'll tell you what that provides. Heaven. It provides exactly that. I hope this morning, in some way, some of the things that have been said caused you to think, I don't want to be fake. I don't want to do the facade kind of thing, and I guess this might be the place in the sermon where I will give you the list, three things that can get you there, five things, but I'm not going to do that. Because as I said before, it's not a measurable thing so much sometimes. But I'm not going to give you A, B, C, and D how to do that. I'll resist doing that, but I want to say this. How much praying are you doing, or have you done, about spiritual growth? How many times have you hit your knees? Have you asked God to help you to grow spiritually? To be a stronger Christian? To be more solid? To do the battle? To look at these graces and say, God, I hope I'm improving at your will. I hope that I'm doing this right. Help me to do better. Help me to grow. Help me to be the Christian that I need to be. Help me to be better tomorrow than I was yesterday. And I tell you what, these qualities that he's talking about, they'll grow. You'll find a way for them to grow. We get serious about prayer. We get serious about reaching these goals. Out of God and His good providence and His good brethren, this good congregation, you'll grow. Your prayer will be answered. You'll grow. And it'll be different for you than it is for me. You know that? These things are relative we're talking about. Your growth, where you're at, where I'm at, different. We're in different places with our walk with the Lord. We're going to be judged by how we're walking. Where at? Right here. Right here. I got it in my heart, in my spirit, that I'm going to do that. And I realize I desire, I need to desire. I'm going to work hard to do that. How about you? We set aside all these false measurements and maybe falsely assessing ourselves sometimes. If we really want it, because we see the benefits of it. Folks, we'll hit our knees and ask for it. And every day we'll work for it. And we'll desire. You know what? Maybe tomorrow, Jeff Thornton will be a little bit more patient than he was the day before. Maybe I'll be a little bit more kinder than I was last week. Maybe I'll love my brother in a different way than I did yesterday. That's what we're talking about. In growing up in Christ, not being saved, not having the facade. You know what the Lord wants for this church? He wants you to be a bigger disciple. Not necessarily weight. Not necessarily numerically. No, that's not what I'm talking about. He wants you to grow spiritually larger. He wants you to grow stronger, deeper, more committed. That's what the Lord desires of all of us. He wants you. He wants me. He wants to stop faking it. He wants us to put the facade down and get into this Word and develop as we should. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the gospel. That's the invitation to you. If you've not done that, the Bible says very clearly that you're lost. Obedience to the gospel is necessary to the salvation of your soul. There are folks in this audience that have not done that. It is a sincere prayer of this congregation that you would consider your lost state. If you consider the condition of your soul, you consider the opportunity that you're given. You've faked it. You've been faking it. You want to make that right publicly? You can do that. We'll certainly pray with you. God will forgive you. This congregation will forgive you. You can be added once again to this body of Christ to develop, to grow in Christ. Please come as together we stand and sing.